Blog Talk Radio.
Discover your new favorite grocery store today, because a brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market is now open near you. You'll find low prices you can trust every day on the groceries your family needs most, like fresh produce, quality meats, and more. Plus, save on prescriptions in our pharmacy. Walmart Neighborhood Market makes it convenient to get everything on your grocery list.
Come meet your friendly new neighbors today at the brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market at Barker Cypress Road and Cypress North Houston in Cypress.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Blog Talk Radio.
Given up. Well, if you have, this is not the season to do that. And the Lord, He sees us, and He knows that we're tired, and He knows that we need a refreshing. He's on His way, and we know that God's got our back. If you don't know, let me enlighten you.
Just meet me here, hallelujah, Lord God. here, those of you that are in love with the Lord, that's in love with the Lord. Hallelujah. Those of you that want to tell him that he's good, that come on. And then just when you come, open up your mouth and just begin to give him hallelujah, Lord God. Give him your worship this morning. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus poured out over me. To make me
thank you.
love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Shaking my soul. I love you. Protecting me. I love you. Oh, I love you. Come on. I love you. Come on. I love you. Hey, come on. I love you. Ah. I love you. Come on. Hey, tell him. Open up your mouth. Tell him. Hey. You don't need me to tell him you love him. Come on. Open up your mouth, Zion. Come on. Don't worry about who's here and who's not. Come on. Don't worry about who's standing next to you. I love you. Because it was you all by yourself when God showed up. Come on. Hey. I love you. Come on. Hey. I love you.
Right?
Yeah. Jonathan, come here.
You love the Lord?
Yeah. Why do you love the Lord? Where does that come from? First of all, you need to take him out, your boy. Just act like you know.
Yes.
No, you know. You're my little cousin. Well, my nephew.
I'm his cousin friend.
All right. It's just that he's had it.
I can't even hear what you're saying. Let me just get on here. Okay, here we go. Lord, let me get back on focus because that bass just shot it. Wow, that's awesome. I love him because I watch you grow up.
Because he just brought up my family and I have so many situations that if it wasn't for him and the crazy side of my family, my mother and my father, I don't think I'd be here right now. And just the amount of blessings he's put over my life and the situation I've been able to live in, it's just crazy. And all I do is thank for that.
Amen, 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 amen. The man of God back there with that blue cream or kind of right behind you, Haiti. But hey, turn around and tell him I'm talking to him. Is she talking to you? Yeah, there you go. Come on. He's like, oh, Lord. You might as well bring your wife with you, and then that'll just cancel like that. Yeah. Bring her with you. There you go. Huh? Right. There you go. I know. Oh, hey, you. It's you. How you doing, man? I got. All right, since I called you first. Okay, so you love the Lord?
Yeah.
Does he love you?
Yeah, I know he does.
Why does he love you? Or why do you love him?
Well, she has brought in front of me an amazing woman. I mean, we've known each other for 22 years. We've been in and out of our lives, and we finally found each other again. So I love that.
All right, woman of God, why do you love the Lord?
I love the Lord because he's changed my life. He's been through a lot since he came out of town. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for him.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you. Thank you. She's like, I've been coming here for a month already. I know, but I didn't recognize you back there. I can't see. Hello. Hallelujah. Lord God. I love you, Lord. When I think about just all of the things that the Lord has brought me through, how he's kept me, but I shared on last week, and this is something that we should come do during the month of February, that we're going to allow people the opportunity to say why they love the Lord. You know, I think you're standing right there. Go ahead and take one. Come on. Marichelle, why we love the Lord. And Carrie, I know you're shy, but we're going to go ahead and drag you up, and we'll be done. I love the Lord because he healed my spirit, changed me, maybe somebody knew that I didn't know who I was before I became to know him. He let me know who I was, and that he loved me just like I was. So I love him because he loves me, not because all the things that he's done, because he would do that anyway. But I love him because of who he showed me that I am in him. Amen. Okay, Kim. All right. Why do you love the Lord?
Well, I love the Lord because he has just been so faithful. I don't care how low I've gotten, but he's been so faithful to me to walk me through those things. He's been right there when sometimes nobody else wasn't. He's been just unbelievably faithful to me. I'm so grateful. I wouldn't make it through without him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you all so much. Thank you. Hi, go ahead and give the Lord a praise offering. Come on, you can do better than that. Go ahead and give him a praise offering. Amen, amen.
I did not realize that Valentine's Day is a tough day, too. It really is. It's just, I missed it. You should have sent me a note before I got ate up by Vanessa. She tore me up. She goes, I'm praying that when I go to church tomorrow, that the pastor will jump over Valentine and just preach another sermon. And I didn't get that. I'm like, well, why would you want to skip over? I mean, I get it. You know, if you want to say, like, it's a pagan, you know, celebration, you know, you want to go past that. Because it was turned Christian. Yeah? And so, you know, it's like, all right, I get it. But then she sent me a message. Like, I was like, girl, that's all I said, girl, stop. Girl, she goes, what about when you wanted children and you couldn't have any? And they were, how did you feel on Mother's Day? I guess I was so oblivious, I connected the two together. And it never affected me, but I knew what she was saying. I knew exactly what she was saying. And so today, you know, I'm going to just kind of take a twist on this thing, and I'm not going to go the direction in which I was going to go, because I found out that it's difficult and that it's sad, and that people are literally running from today. They go, oh, Lord. Like, I'm thinking, yes, Valentine's Day is on a Sunday. People are like, messed up my Sunday. Oh, man. But no, it didn't. Because it's not about, you know, like, finding, like, a love, like a husband or a wife. Not when we look at it in Christendom. It's a far greater love than that. It's something that made people give up getting married to do. Which is to serve God. Someone's like, not me, that ain't my call. But I'm telling you, there are people, and I'm not talking about just Catholic nuns, I'm talking about people that profess the gospel as missionaries, really have, like, said, you know what, I'm going to do this thing like Paul. And I know it's hard for you to imagine falling in love at that degree to where you would not want to be married or want children. But can I just tell you a quick story before I step to the back and come back in? My husband, Joe, wonderful. And though you didn't know me, you heard I was married before. I can now say to a wonderful guy, a horrible husband, because he didn't know what he was doing. And it was, I take responsibility now for that, because I'm the one that knew the Lord. And so I was trying to cure my own brokenness, my own hurt. And so I married him, trying to answer my dad. You heard the story, so I have to go down through that. My God, Lord, so. So anyway, long story, brings my husband into my life. And I had started seeking the Lord. Actually, I was definitely saved because I had a relationship with the Lord, even in my first marriage. So when things kind of went off course, I could grab hold of him. I wasn't completely just lost and couldn't find my way. And so in the middle of my storm, I would just cry out to the Lord. And he would just remind me that he was there. Amen? Woo! Somebody tell your name, say he's there. Yeah. I'm going to rock your world. I kid you not. I know my singles. You're waiting to get married, and that's a good thing. And I'm not trying to downplay marriage or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you what. You can have a relationship with the Lord that I cannot enter into when I am married. When in between that space, I'm telling you, I built my relationship so strong that with the Lord, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, like I would spend time with him, I could feel him yanking on me. What do you mean, Pastor, yanking on me? Like you can feel, you have this feeling that comes over you where the Lord, he'll call you, he'll draw you away. Like you'll be out eating all of a sudden, you get this in your spirit. Well, not that he doesn't do that to us now, but not as often as he did when I was single. And so he would like yank on me a little bit, and I'd say, you know, hey, I gotta go. And I'd run home, and before I could even get home, he'd already set it up. And I'd go in my closet, literally my closet, and I'd spend time with him. He would just share his wonders with me. And so when it was time for me to, when I met Joe, immediately, like when I met him the first time, like real first time, I'm not talking about that bypass and all, but when I met him the first time, I knew that he was my husband. I actually left where we were talking. We had one conversation that lasted a long time, and I left it, and I said, surely not. And I'm saying surely not because he's not a wonderful person, but, I mean, man, we
first started out. And I was just like, you guys are kidding me. But he was wonderful. He made me fall in love with him like that. But it was the Lord. It was who God had for me. But I love God more. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to love God more first. Yeah. You got to love him first more. And so anyway, I was in love with God. So I go home and I talk to God about Joe. And I remember one day, I went to Kasha when y'all were over here on First Street, down by the park. And man, when you're in love with him, you know, and especially if you were married before, you know, you want all the marriage stuff to come in there too. But I knew God well enough not to bring that into it. And it was so funny because I went to her house and I fell across her sister's bed and I go, I just want to touch him. I want to touch him. I want to hug him. I don't think I can handle it anymore. I just want to touch him. I'm like, you better not touch him. I mean, I was just like, oh. I made the mistake and let him lay his head in my lap. Got a headache. Almost wrecked my life. I'd run home. I talked to her. I went home and I tell the Lord, oh my goodness, I am in love with this boy. You got to help me. Oh, and she's like, please don't let me make any mistakes. Get your hold of sister. You know, it's different. And then I inquired about him. You know, is this the one that I'm to marry? And that's another story. I'm going to do a singles conference with him. Just really going to walk through this thing. Would y'all do that? Yeah. I think we should do that. They like, please. And, I mean, it was just absolutely, like, incredible, my relationship with the Lord. So, long story, a little bit shorter, I married that guy. We started dating. We actually went on our first date on Valentine's, which was so awkward because when you go on your first date on Valentine's, it's like, not been together long enough, so what do? You know, if I show up with a bag, a big old car, some candy, or if he does it, that's a little weird. Like, I don't even know you like that. Take your bag, hey, your kids. Let me go home. I'm not your sweetheart yet. I don't even know you. So we went out on our first date, and it was wonderful, and we talked every day. We're still talking. And I'm still talking to the Lord, and I'm telling him about it, and everything else, and a little bit shorter now, just talking about that shorter. And I said, told him I would marry him. He proposed to me. I jumped out of the car and ran down the street, yelling and screaming when he put the ring on my hand that I lost, knocked the head out of. We'll talk about that too in a single thing. How your future husband won't kill you for paying up stuff you just got. So, just wonderful. And I'm talking to God about all of it. And so we married, and I remember going into the closet to pray. And when I got in there, I'm thinking I'm going to run in there and I'm going to tell the Lord all about it, that I got married and, woo, it's, you know, thank you know, and all that stuff like that, a whole bunch of other baggage and stuff, but then he welcomed me, so that was still there from other places. That's part of the conference. And you just made a whole, but I wanted to tell him about Joe and thank him so much about it once we got to our new apartment. And I ran in there and my heart was broken. Not that I didn't love him. You know, but it was because the relationship that I had with the Lord before I said I do, I had to share my heart. How do you do that with someone you've fallen in love with? And I didn't even know I had fallen in love with God. I know you thought I was talking about Joe. I was in love with Joe, but I had fallen madly in love with God. He was my husband. He told me that in the scripture. Isaiah 54, he says that I'll be your husband. I was like, okay, all right, I got you. And I walked with him daily, and we talked and communed with each other often. Are you listening? That when I got married, I literally was heartbroken, and I mourned for that relationship. Now, I know some of you said, I can't even imagine none of that. Try making him your all in all. I'm not talking about some of that weirdness that y'all might have heard before, you know. I'm talking about falling in love with him to the point to where when you literally, you're like looking at the one that you want to marry, looking at the dress, looking at God. Okay, really, can we do this and I'll walk through this with you? And we still stay good and remain the same. Right. So when I realized that it was changing, I was just, I mean, more grateful. And I can tell you the truth, it has never, ever reached the place where it was before I was single. Now, I wouldn't trade a day with Joe, not a day, not a day. And all of the good times as well as the tough times that you go through when you're married. But the Lord taught me how to fall in love with him. So for my single people who don't even have anyone to date, or if you're dating and you're not married yet, and you know, all of that stuff, and all those emotions, or you were married and you lost the mate, you're divorced, or whatever it is, I want to release you from that today, or tell you you're free to be free from that, and just walk with the Lord in this moment. I know it's kind of icing for you to say, Pastor, no, if I hadn't done it, I couldn't tell you. Today, the Lord's arms are outstretched wide for you, and he loves you. He's crazy about you. He wants to show you. Somebody came up and said, it was Yolanda said, he taught me about me. I found out about me. Let him teach you who you are. Let him show you and set a standard in your life for the women, of what a man, how he should treat a woman. I'm telling you, the Lord will walk you through that thing, and men start trying to bring something that's below the bar. You're like, I'm a child of the king. I'm a daughter. I'm a princess. Don't play up in here. You can't. Bring me no chicken quick. For the men, the same thing. But you'll learn what a bride is really about and what she should do it and how she should love you and how when you walk through the door, literally, when Joe leaves and comes back, I kid you not, he walks in the room and I lay eyes on him first. Every time since we first got married, I still get that kind of a thing. Every time. Even if I'm mad, then I follow that game. It's true. I'm not trying to pump it up or anything, but trust me, I was a hard person to deal with. But I fell in love with a man that loved me in the midst of all my friends. DJ said something this past week. He said, you need to find someone that will love you when you're low and will love your kind of crazy. Look at your neighbor. She might be talking to you. So you want to go ahead and just, you know, one of my mates, but you want people in your life. Love is beyond just having a boyfriend or a fiance or a husband. Let me tell you something. You want love on like such a ground floor level, or you know, where people just, you have people that love you. Not many people can raise their hands and say, I know that this person loves me. When you start going past 3-4 people outside of your house, you probably not. You don't even know the definition of what really it is. Love is sacrificial. It is. There's a depth to it. There's a. Let me tell you something. Love is purposeful. You know, like when the Lord told me, say, go ahead and purpose the lover already. Didn't I tell you that? And you know, don't get to know her, just love her. What kind of crazy thing is this? No. Love is. Him coming home when you're married and keep throwing stuff on the floor you just cleaned up. And you go and you pick it up and you know, ripping it up. Love is like when you go in the kitchen and every cabinet is open after they cook. And you just walk in behind them and you close them. When you don't have a stroke, it helps you, right? Love is every time you do something, she's still fucking saying it's not right. And it's just exactly what she asked you to do. Amen, bro. I feel your pain. I know you can't say it, but I got you. Yeah. It's that. It's those types of things. Well, I purpose in my heart, and I say, you know what? I love you. That's what love, it looks like that. It's really not a feeling. It's not goosebumps and pimples. Now, the first stage is, it's like, woo, goosebumps and pimples. It's not, woo, he's so cute, he's so fine. Because I promise you, fine will come up with a new definition by the time you get 50 to 60 years. Don't play with me. I know I'm in my second stage. page of furniture. And gave on a new definition. And so if you think that's love because of the way that they look and the way they make you feel when you see them based on how they look, it's kind of changed. So when their hair is gray and then their chest is not here, it's here. Jonathan.
Oh, that's me.
That sounded just like Big Jonathan. Stop. That's love. The love of the Lord is very much like that. I did nothing to deserve his love. That's what love looks like. You do nothing to deserve. You do nothing to deserve my love. And I choose to give it anyway. That's love. So if we can accomplish that kind of love, like on this level, then I'll be free to give it to my husband and to my wife. And you understand what I'm saying? I'll be free to do that. And that's where the Lord is trying to bring us. Into a place to where we can enter into love, and it doesn't just happen on February the 14th. The hardest walk you'll ever have in kingdom is the love walk. You got the rules all down, but it's loving you. It's loving you and you hate me. It's loving you and you mistreat me. It's loving you and you take advantage of me. It's loving you and my love seems greater than your love. That he teaches us that. Perfect example. This morning I was leaving the house, and I mean, I'm not going to give you an example. He's like talking to me about loving. Like, you did nothing to make me love you. I created you. I created you, and put, you know, it's not like you did a whole bunch of cool stuff, and then I fell in love with you. I chose. I gave my love to the thing that I created, and refused to withdraw it based on its behavior. Now that's when you know you're in love. I want to be with you when you're not perfect. I want to be with you, can I say it, in your jacked upness. I want to be with you. I love you, and I love your kind of crazy. Why are you talking like the kind of crazy, Pastor? Like me, I'll just use the example so we don't have to have no conferences, all right? Grammatically incorrect, so that we don't have to have any conferences after service. Since we've been married, I crunch. I don't know. It's like it's addictive. But I'm sorry, Joe. But I eat stuff in the bed that makes noise when the lights go out. I love your kind of crazy, Regina. I know that's what he's saying. Every time he gets behind the wheel of my car, I'm freaking out. From before till now. Kind of crazy, Regina. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Oh, yeah. And the list goes on. It really does. I love the way you stick your hand in my hair and push it up like this because you think it looks better and I just fixed it. And then you put hairspray not only on my hair but on my forehead for almost 30 years. I love you kind of crazy, Regina. It's that kind of stuff. It's watching chick flicks when I don't want to watch chick flicks, and it's going camping when we don't want to go camping. It's compromising in places that I thought I just could not live with. Like eating stuff that I thought I would never eat, but because he cooked it, I would try it. But I still hold the option to say no. The Lord today, he wants to let you know that, you know, he loves you in spite of you. And he's teaching you how to love others because people are not perfect. But if you miss today, this beautiful love day, because you don't have a significant boo, when you got a boo, then I tell you what, you're going to miss one of the most beautiful days of your life. An opportunity to free you to fall in love with him. Give yourself away. Today, make a point to give yourself away. And if you have to go out, my mom taught me this. I don't do this very well at all. But she will catch a movie by herself. buy yourself some flowers. How about that? Get yourself some balloons. My purpose when I turned 48, that's what I would do. I would celebrate me and the life that God has given me for the rest of my life, whether anybody else does it or not. What a beautiful gift. What a beautiful gift. In closing, don't live the rest of your life sad and pitiful and missing out on the joy. On the joy of this life. I was talking to my son outside, my oldest son in the house. No, not in the house, Marcus. Dad, we just put him there. We were walking one day, my birthday. We're walking, and I said, this life is too short for us to spend it sad and crying and mad and miserable every day. That we get a choice to live happy, not giddy and crazy, just happy, rejoicing in the Lord. For those of you that spent most of your time sad, today, make today a declaration day. But I declare from this day on, I'm not going to wake up another day to cry about the hope. I'm not going to wake up the next day feeling and broken. And my past will not dictate my future. High five about three people around you. See, you could do that if you knew your past. If you knew the person sitting next to you past, they said, my past will not dictate my future. You gotta get up. You gotta get up to high five with people, not next. I don't need to be a high five one sitting right there. That means it's around. Now, when you ain't a little girl, how cool you high five? Okay. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let us give the Lord a praise offering. Somebody give him a praise offering.
Concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers and my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson. Every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Quick question. What is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth, and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
Quick question, what is your kryptonite? You know, kryptonite, like from the Superman movie. Little pieces of krypton that will fall to the earth and then Superman will come in contact with it. Kryptonite. Okay. Small pieces of your past falling into your future, robbing you of your destiny. Kryptonite? What is yours? Is the person down the street, you know, so conveniently always is willing to remind you of who you used to be before you were redeemed? Or is it the memory of a place where you were broken when you were young? A bad marriage? Bad circumstances? I mean, I don't know. Today, I want you to identify what is your kryptonite. Once you grab hold of it, you reduce it to nothingness. Because the season of living a defeated life is over. It's time for us to live unstoppable lives.
To order Unstoppable You by Regina Johnson, go to Lulu.com, Google Books, and Amazon.
My Bible, the living breath.
start out with is agape love. Agape love is parent love, father love, child love. And it's not just like I love you because you're my kid. It is that I love you. Come sit at my feet. That a lot of people don't even know agape love. A filial love. That's the next thing that I would use. And it's like it's a friend.
Question, have you ever loved? I mean, like, I'm talking about not only looking all over the floor and talking and looking. around the corner and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. Modesty is shy. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. They'll say he will look all on the wall and talk to you, but when it comes down to business, he will lock you up and you will wish you were just looking on the wall. And all you couldn't look at nobody if you missed so like it was all serious and you all of them up. Love is like that. I look you right in the eye and I can tell you what is wrong with you. And I can tell you what is right with you all in one single breath. Never lose my rhythm. Never change my shot. Most times people think that when you're corrected, that it's love. If I tell you something other than you want to hear, you don't love me. I'm telling you something. Love is not, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. You're so sweet. You're so pretty. You're so kind. And somebody said, you are pretty, but you know what? You need to change those shoes. If you're a sister, she hit it. I know you didn't try to talk about my shoes. Yeah, I know that's not what you're trying to talk about. Matter of fact, I know your shoes are going to talk to you first. No. God, man, you drive so good. That's a great looking car, but you know what? Maybe you ought to do this or that to your ride, or maybe you ought to do this or that. I'm going to look over. I would be working on you on that job still. You still working on it? I'm going to say a job again and look right at you. If you're working it out, okay, maybe. It's like you don't want to hear it. If it's not something that makes you comfortable, where are you going with this guy? What I'm saying is the hardest journey in our Christian relationship is in love and our interpretation. 1 Corinthians, read the retreat. 7-9.
If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging
cymbal.
Prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing.
Wow.
If I give.
Let's just hang on a second. Let's go back. If I speak with the tongue of man and angel, but I have not love, if I speak with eloquent tongue, if I can't help on that, correct, if I say it in a way to where it is soothing to your soul, but I don't have love, I have become something that is empty and void. How many times have you said it right, but you said it wrong?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that? It's how you say it. Look at your neighbor and ask them, say, she's up there. And I'm telling you something, you can receive correction when you can receive, no, I mean that. You can correct someone if you can do it in love and they can receive it. It is how you deliver it. It's how you deliver it. I had to learn that lesson. Anybody else in here have to learn that lesson? My mother's real coarse. So when I tell mine, that's exactly how I would tell them, the same way my mom told me. You just say it real coarse and just rip my life. And then I found myself, that's exactly how I do my kids. I would correct them strongly. And not all personalities can handle that. And so I have to learn a different way. Somebody say a different way. It's not that you don't love, it's how you show your love. And because we have learned that 80% of us give love in a dysfunctional way, all of us probably need to work on our love walk. We need to work on our love walk. People a lot of times, they don't want to talk about love or how you walk in love because they feel like it makes you a doormat. Let me tell you something. It doesn't make you a doormat. When you can hold yourself and allow people to operate around you in a way that's not loving and you still show love, let me tell you something. That's strength and that's love. And that's where God's trying to bring you. I believe that the reason why the Lord wants to talk about love today is not just because of Valentine's Day. Not at all. We want to talk about love so we can learn how to love, how to give love, and to receive love. Many of us don't know how to receive love because we didn't get a true form of love. A true form of love doesn't always feel right. A true form of love doesn't always feel good when it's coming towards you. A form of love is corrective, and it's hard for me to digest it. A true form of love talk about my struggle. Can I just help the parents right quick? We first had kids, none of us had kids before, so we didn't know how to do it. And is that all right? And so we gave love based on our emotional condition when we had children. We loved them, but we also loved them from a place of where we were stuck. Now that you are older and you're more whole, isn't it amazing that the younger ones get a truer form of really what it looks like than the older ones? The older ones got wore out. You got frustration and paying bills and all kinds of stuff, but the young ones get new cars and all of the nice stuff because now we're like calmer and we're more relaxed and things are more settled. We're trying to figure out marriage and parenting at the same time. Oh, and so they go through all kinds of stuff. And they missed out on a lot of things that we wanted to give them, I think. But I'll show them love. Now that we're older, I can tell you, you can go back to the places and you can help them through the places where they are in love. That's why when we start talking to you about your relationships and so on and so forth, we can say it's incorrect. And you can say, well, you didn't do it right. The older ones can always tell us when we did it wrong. And you know what? Whether we want to hear it most times, what they're saying a lot of times is correct. It's hard to hear it, but it's true. And I'm not ashamed to say I didn't know what I was doing. That the older ones are the test. They're the guinea pigs. They're the trial and error thing. You're trying to figure it out on them. And by the time if you have a few like we did and Casper did, you guys have to help me eight. Hey, by the time you get to that number eight, you gotta figure it out. But we got a whole bunch of stuff going on all the way down. You can see where it shifts. Like Caitlin has a whole other level of confidence that the other ones don't have. She'll just walk in the room and just will command the room. Because by the time she got here, I was a lot more chill. But the rest of poor Marcus, I'm surprised he's not traumatized. I remember one day he was running from me. Yes, shall I say it again? He was running from me, and I was chasing him. Yes, I admit, I was chasing him. And he turned around and looked at me with this horrible look on his face and said, "You are crazy." That's real. How many of y'all have some crazy moms? Okay, stand up. Shall I do anything? Put it down. They show her in, but she ain't here. But she was praying. Yeah. Well, I mean, let me tell you something. By the time I got to the other one, the girl, it took a long time for me to check up with me. Because I had given so much out on him. I had thrown stuff on the walls and acted up and clowned. And you know what? And it all was love. I know somebody said, look, I'm sure he said, wow. Yeah, it was love. You know why it was love? It was love and desperation. Because I didn't know what to do. So then I was so desperate to make sure that he was all right. Because I say love, and I was desperate, and but I didn't have the information. And so I was crazy. And he thought I was crazy. But I remember a lady showed me, I was doing ready, giving him some blood. I was like, you got to come up out of here. And she said, do not throw that baby away. You do not put your son out. You don't need to. I didn't listen to a lot, but I did it. Anyway. Yeah? And so you keep there, right? And so many of you are dealing with that and being the older one, and maybe the parent did not know what to do. They didn't know what to do. And that is all right. Because in this season, God is going to teach us how to love. If you were the baby, you were wrong. You were rotten. If you weren't physically spoiled by your family members, you were spoiled in life. It was made easier on you. Everything that you did, they seemed to overlook it. It wasn't as severe. It wasn't that it was severe. We were just so tired by the time we got here. Yeah. We were just hoping that by the time you got there, that you would act right on your own. You said, all right. By watching the rest of them. Love. Go ahead and reach.
If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing.
You know what? If I do things just so that somebody can see me, then that's not love. That's just me. Somebody telling you that to say, don't do you. Do God. See, when you do God, it says that when you do something, the right hand doesn't know, or the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's done. But when that's why our love many times is so broken, is because the definition of our love is look what I have done for you, thank me for it, and tell everybody I did. Is that all right? Usually when we're like that, it's because we're trying to fulfill something in us. There's something that's missing in us. Amen? Go ahead.
Love is patient. Love is kind.
Stop. Is your love patient? Is your love kind? Are you patient with those that frustrate you? When they get on your last nerve, are you patient? Are you kind? Are you? We try to be, but we're not. This is what God is working on in us. Go ahead and read.
It does not envy. It does not boast.
Stop. It doesn't envy. And it doesn't boast. Is your love boastful? Is it a boastful love? Is it a boastful love? What is that, Pastor? It goes back to that's what we say just a minute ago. It is like an all-about-me kind of love. When your love is just all about you, it's not really about anyone else. And so how is it just love? Just self-love? That's not the love that God is working on with us. He is working on a love that where we can love others as we love ourselves. As we love ourselves. Let me tell you something. That kind of love also is easily offended. Are you easily offended? When someone's holding a conversation, they say something, do you automatically think that it's about you? Is it? It shouldn't be. What would make you think? More times than not, people are not standing up or sitting down or running around, really just focused on me. Life is complicated and it's full. And so if you see somebody standing up to the side talking with someone else, not just that they're not even talking about you, but when your love is broken, you automatically think that it is about you. You automatically, you hear something? I cannot tell you how many times I've had to meet with people that thought when I was preaching about people. Are you kidding? For real? I'm going to take the whole time to shake around your life. Offended and broken.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know that I've offended in the movie. But it's based on the type of love. Were you that kid that in your home you were always trying to be the one that was accepted? The one that was always trying to be in? Usually when it's that one, it's the one that is always going to be rejected. That is the nature that comes from that place of confidence. And God said, I want to give you the whole balance for us. Let's keep moving. I've got to keep going. We've got to keep going.
It's not for our
own.
It does not dishonor others.
Stop. It does not dishonor others. Love, real love, does not dishonor. You don't have to dishonor my life in order for you to feel good about you. If you're the person that has to break me down, tear me down, in order for you to feel better about yourself, let me tell you what true love is. True love covers. True love covers my faults. It covers my weakness. It covers my brokenness. You know how I know, really, when, like, especially in ministry, I learned this so strong, is that no pastors are not perfect. They are not. Well, let me tell you something. The sheep are not perfect either. But let me tell you, they got a perfect pastor in a sheep setting is when the pastor covers the sheep, brokenness and insecurity, and the sheep covers the pastor. You love me that kind of sick, psychotic kind of love. I love you. I want you. I love you. I don't like you tomorrow. I love you. Do you have that kind? Yeah, that kind. That I love you, but I'm not talking to you. I love you, but I want to deal with you. I love you. Don't tell me you love me, but you don't want to deal with me. Are you kidding me? That's not love. Not love at all. Keep going.
No record of wrong.
Stop. The show love keeps record of my wrong. Because if you're keeping record of all, first of all, you're one out of pen and pen. Or pen. Just look at your neighbor and say, are you keeping record of my wrong? Better yet, he keeps record of anyone wrong. You know what? That's amazing. I keep record of your phone. You can rest assured. Someone is keeping record of your phone. And I don't want anyone keeping record of my phone. Is that all right? You're keeping record of someone's wrong. Someone is keeping record of your wrong. Okay, go ahead.
Thus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Keep going.
It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Stop. So you're wondering if you're loved. If you see those types of things coming from people towards you, then you know that that's love. It's love. If you're giving those things out towards people, then you know it's love. That's how I know they love you. There you go. There you go. You always remind me of what I did wrong yesterday. Then we might have a love problem. And it may not be the same, maybe brokenness manifest, record keeping. I got a talent, what you do. Love also, a dysfunctional type of love is control. It's real control. When I say you gotta love my kind of crazy, there are many people that say, you gotta love their kind of crazy, because their kind of crazy is control. But the reason why their kind of crazy is control is because they're so afraid of love. So afraid. If you gotta talk me down to keep me from rising up because you're so afraid where your life is headed, that's not love. Now I'm gonna tell you so you have regrets today for things that are wrong all through your life. No, you told me that because you gotta break me because you don't feel good about me.
Come on.
Not love. Go ahead.
Love never fails.
It never fails. It's consistent. It is always in place. It's in place with a recorrected. It's in place with a, if I'm not perfect, it's in place. It's in place. It's always in place. It's not conditional based on how I respond to you. It's not walk by you. I'm not trying to ignore you or not speak to you. My mind is on something. Somebody said, I was just thinking about something. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But there are many people because of their own type of brokenness. They automatically believe that it's about them. Why? Because when you're all in your own home setting, that when you did things wrong, people cut you off. And so outside of your home, when it looks like you're being cut off, you feel like they don't like you. They don't love you. No. But I don't know what to do with you. I just want to keep you take off. That's mine. And that's the one I'm trying to work on. Really? It's like if I don't have an answer to it, then you know we just need to not even talk. Let's go even be around and say, what about that one? So that I won't get in the tea and have to hurt. My husband can give definition to me that she says the crazier she is in your life, the more that she loves you. So for those of you that were wondering if I love you, you got a crazy side of me, then you know that. Because the crazier that she is, you've never had a crazy episode, if she's never said nothing going off the crazy, see, then you got a problem.
Just kidding.
Oh,
calm, they will be still.
Keep going.
Where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
He's saying all of this stuff will come to an end, but what? Love. Love. It never fails. Never fails. If you're not giving something to someone, it doesn't matter if you don't give them, you know, a fruit gift. All the best of you, and you don't give them love. It's pointless. It's pointless. I am. We talk about different types of love, and I'm getting ready to go. I think I want to come up to the back and draw it very small. I'm going to get ready to draw. I'm going to do kind of a male-female quiz off. We just think different. We operate different. The things that you think you know about male and female, we're going to address that real quick. I want to treat the last one. If you don't have, if you have all of my husbands, but you don't have love for him.
But where there are prophecies?
Uh-huh.
They will cease.
Keep going.
Where there are songs,
right,
they will be stilled.
Stop. Where there are prophecies, will cease. Where there are songs, they will stand still. Where would that happen the most? In the church? Where do you see the most turning people in the
church?
Where are people wounded the most? So our goal is to make sure that we don't wound, but don't be a walking candidate to be wounded. This is what I was saying. If you go through your life looking for me to wound you, to hurt you, to break you, eventually it will happen. If you're looking for me to say something wrong or incorrect towards you, it will happen. If you're judging my life, and I'm speaking as just an individual, not talking about me, I'm saying this as for us all. If you're looking for my errors, they will be found. But the goal of love is to look past the things that you see that's wrong with me. And be able to look at all that is right with me. As a matter of fact, if it's not evident what's right with me, your job, as you love me, is to find it. Can you find it? Spend time and find the thing that's right with me. Parents, if you're one that's always telling your children what's messed up with them, make sure that you tell them what is right with them. If you're going to spend the next, you know, 10 years telling them what's wrong, what's broken, what's torn up, be sure you're able to find that thing that is right with them. I'm going to say this before we start this portion. And you got to know my language. You got to know my language. Probably the best example of that is, and I know you say I always say this, but I mean, this is right here. She and I are like, and I don't normally pull this suggestion into Christendom, but like the meaning of it. You'll never meet anyone that loves her love language as she did. She is going to give and give and give and give and give. I mean, like, crazy give, next level give, crazy give. And her kind of love answers like that kind of thing. And I'm talking about godly, you know, some phileo. Phileo. Love. She gave something for me last year at Valentine's Day that did something that was hidden way in the back of my mind. And only a mind that thinks like mine from the giving perspective could have answered that. I'd always seen it on television. You know, we have like those, the quartets. These guys show up to my house with these vests on, and they come into the house and they start singing. It's like Wine River and all this. And that's something you saw like in the movies a long time ago. And she came to my house and she bought me some flowers and all this. Oh, thank you so much. They were absolutely beautiful. And these guys pull up to sing that. My thing is, like, I like the people to go outside of the box. Outside of the box. Outside. and words are important to me. What is your language? Hers is giving and words. She likes to give and she likes words. What is yours? It is impossible for me to give you the love that you're looking for, you need, if I don't know your language. What answers it in you? There are some people, they don't care if they ever get anything. They're going to follow, they don't get a card, they do any of those things. Are you listening to me? And not everybody's supposed to answer that. You say, oh, come under some false condemnation. Oh, Lord, now we got to trust you. Get something different, get that. They'll give you anything. Because usually when God does it, it is that moment when I need that something is to remind me that I'm good. Is that all right? Have you ever needed to know that you were loved? And in a different kind of a way. Now, my husband, that's a different kind of love. I'm talking about just relational love. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why, like, sometimes you'll get this feeling like to pick up the phone and call someone and just say, you know what? I was just thinking about, hey, they might have needed that moment of love. You need to say, is that love? You're like to be. Hello, how are you doing? I was just thinking about you. I have someone in here that loves hearing me say, I'm so proud of you. And I know those that are like that. That word, they love hearing, I am proud, and it answers something on the inside of you. And they equate, I'm proud of you with I love you. Isn't that amazing? God is going to teach us how to do this thing in kingdom. He's going to teach us how to love and support each other and stop looking for everyone that's around you to treat you like those that treated you in your past who were unable. Can we say unable?
Unable.
To give love. In closing, those that did not give you the love that you needed, it's all right. God has placed someone here on the earth that can get it to you. Is that all right? Let's give the Lord a praise. We have a wonderful chance that I want to do with you guys. The Lord actually put it on my heart, and if I could have done it the way that I saw it in my head, it wouldn't have been made right to relinquish help from many people. It would have been, but it's absolutely fun for me. So I'm going to ask my husband. And you're going to come up and you're going to represent the man. She's yelling, I called my name.
How would I
not call my name on the table?
You're representing the women and you're representing the men. So I don't know what you are.
The word of God is true. And if he says that he will never leave us, if he says that he is perfecting the things concerning us, then you best believe that he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us more than we could ever imagine. So to my brothers, my sisters, let's gut it up. Because the outcome is going to be great.
Don't miss Refresh with Pastor Regina Johnson, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Discover your new favorite grocery store today, because a brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market is now open near you. You'll find low prices you can trust every day on the groceries your family needs most, like fresh produce, quality meats, and more. Plus, save on prescriptions in our pharmacy. Walmart Neighborhood Market makes it convenient to get everything on your grocery list.
Come meet your friendly new neighbors today at the brand new Walmart Neighborhood Market at Barker Cypress Road and Cypress North Houston in Cypress.
Save money, live better, Walmart.